comes to life on Earth and human history, scientists and historians have some of the answers, but not all of them.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Unearthed. I'm AZ.
And I'm Nicole, and today we are going to unearth the conspiracy surrounding the Vatican City.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is very keen. Lots of conspiracy theories, lots of theories around it.
Yep, cool.
So the Catholic Church, however many years it's been around, basically a long time, have had a lot of scandals in history and intrigue hidden within its walls, basically, Ooh. Right? So the history and the intrigue into this has basically led to conspiracy theories we are going to examine right here today.
Cool.
And because the Vatican City is a sovereign country, which I didn't know that, actually.
Wait, really?
Yeah, so it's a sovereign country. It can police mm-hmm. itself. And some claim that because of this, it basically chooses to hide its sins and chooses to, like,
Whoa.
Basically say it's easy to murder someone in the Vatican City, basically. That's a whole
That's kind of crazy that it's its own, mm-hmm. like, country. I did not know that.
Yes. There so let's firstly start with, well... This first thing about, did the Vatican help hide war criminals? So this is the first kind of conspiracy theory we're going to dive into today.
All right.
And so we'll start at World War II, because where else would you start with war criminals, hey? I guess, or the idea of war criminals.
Yeah, true.
So Adolf Hitler, when he invaded Yugoslavia in April 1941, 11 days after that, he basically, the Yugoslavia fell, and Adolf Hitler was in charge, and so he put in what is called, like, a puppet government, I would say, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. So the puppet government basically ruled over what we know now is Croatia, right? Yep.
Okay.
And the people that were in charge of Croatia were called Ustasia. I think that's how you say it. Ustasia. Yes. And Ustasia. So they were an extreme fascist group in charge of this new state. Right, so their ruler, or mm-hmm. the leader of this party, was a Catholic anti-Pavlik. Anti-Pavlik.
What does that mean?
And he so he's had it like his ideology, I would say, his like beliefs. He was a combination of fascist ideology and Catholicism, and a devout Catholicism. So he was a bit of both.
That's
dangerous,
man. Right. Very dangerous.
And because of this, it actually led to, a mass genocide where he was...
What?
Yeah, it was basically aimed to cleanse Croatia of all non-Roman Catholics, but non-Roman Catholics. So if you were anything but a Roman Catholic, bye-bye, basically.
Bye-bye
to you.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
But then at the end of World War II... The Catholic Church, well, of course, everything was muddled up and trying to, war criminals were trying to escape and stuff like that. But actually, the Catholic Church, it is seemed, or, like, the theories go that they basically, while other fascists were being brought to trial and stuff like that, the Catholics were protecting their own. So they were protecting, like, Pavlik, basically, because he was a Catholic, right?
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, anti-Pavlik, that's his name, yes. Did you... No?
I thought it was some, like, special type of, like, Catholic stuff.
No, that's his name.
And I was like, what does that mean? You'll hear me say, what does that mean? Some dude's name. Oh, gosh, that's a bit embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's kind of funny. I generally didn't think that was a name. Anyway.
Right. Anyway, back to anti-Pavlik and war and stuff like that. So basically many believe that the Vatican and the USA, or the US government, basically helped these Catholics, basically, or fascist Catholics, I would call them, I don't know what, to escape and stuff like that. And there was a special agent, William Gowan, who was actually given a job to arrest Eustasia troops, such as Pavlik. And,
Wow.
Yeah. So...
Like, surely they did help some people escape. Like, isn't that inevitable?
Yeah. But I'll explain to why people think that they basically helped them escape. Okay. If that makes sense, right? But first we have to backtrack to being like, well, in Croatia, if you were in Croatia, you had to go through this Croatian provincial college, which is basically backed by the Vatican. So it was a college backed by the Vatican, and if you had to register there as a Croatian refugee to get then identity documents, basically, right, and stuff like that. So what they the theory goes is like Pavlik, well, he needed new documents to get out and escape.
Yeah.
And so he went to this college because, of course, he was a Catholic. The priests of this college provided these new documents for him.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
So he's provided these documents so that he could escape, basically, is the gist of it, right?
Cool.
But the idea is, well, like, my question is, why would these priests help a war criminal whose regime was brutal, basically?
But did they know that he was a war criminal?
Yes. Yes, they did? Yeah, because he was in charge of the Ustasha. Pavlik was...
So they would have known his face.
They would have known. It's kind of like, well, everyone knew Adolf Hitler was in charge, right?
Okay. Like, it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, like, it was some random guy.
Mm.
He could have just rocked up at this college and been like, yo, my name is... Mm. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't have a name.
Yeah. So basically, why people think that they helped the war criminals and stuff like that is because Catholics and communism were enemies at this time.
Yeah.
They still are kind of thing. Like, they were they were fighting. There was a little bit of a war going on between them. And this was also because at the end of World War II, communists were going around, like, sweeping Eastern Europe. Right, and basically destroying, like, Catholic churches and all this stuff. And so the Vatican, claimed that a man of faith like Pavlik, even though he was a fascist as well and very brutal, would able to fight back against communism and so hopefully win the fight against communism, right? Bring down communism, basically.
Okay. I don't think that was the best approach, but anyway.
Yeah, who knows? So Special Agent William Gowan, as I said, he was tasked with trying to capture Ustasha troops.
Yeah.
And he was on to Pavlik. But before he could arrest him, he was actually stopped, or he says he was stopped by his superiors, given a phone call and said, hey, don't arrest Pavlik. You cannot arrest Pavlik.
Oh, that's shady.
Right?
Very shady.
And so... why would they stop him from arresting Pavlik? So basically this whole idea that the USA and the Catholic Church wanted to save these fascist war criminals from justice in order to help them fight against communism, basically. Fight against communism and fight against the new enemy, which was communism now, instead of Adolf Hitler kind of thing. And so, they think that this was a whole... like, the Vatican was not just one rogue piece, but it was a whole system behind it. So the whole of Vatican and, I guess, the whole of the US government as well was behind this.
That's crazy.
Yes.
And scary, because that's actually true, man.
Yeah, it is scary what's true. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe you guys can think, maybe you believe this, I don't know. But even though if they wanted this, that the US and Pavlik wants, not Pavlik, US and the Vatican wanted Pavlik to lead and fight against communism.
Yeah.
They were very disappointed, though, because actually once he kind of escaped, he lived the rest of his life in Argentina and Spain, basically, where he died. Right? He did nothing for them. So them saving him, very pointless. So, yes.
So stupid that they saved him.
Okay. So that's the first kind of conspiracy. The second is the attempted assassination on the Pope John Paul II.
Let's go.
John Paul was elected in 1978, and he was actually the first non-Italian Pope, and that was a big thing, like non-Italian Pope.
Pretty big, because like the Pope is like a big deal.
Yeah, the Pope is a big deal, and he was non-Italian. He was actually Polish, and he came from communist Poland. So,
it was a very, very big deal. Wait, was he actually assassinated?
No, he wasn't. He was attempted. It was an attempted, he got shot, but it didn't, right?
Now why, like, the Pope's wear, like, the security stuff under their
assuming so.
Is it called robes? I don't know.
Yeah, robes. Whatever they have, they get up.
Yeah, because, like, I swear I've heard, like, people saying that they wear, like, all this, like, not armor, that's definitely the wrong word, but like protection.
Protection
stuff.
Yes, yeah. I'm assuming it's probably because of that bit. Because
I'm assuming lots of people are going to try to kill the Pope. Not us. We won't do that. But
so John Paul II, he was a very charismatic person, and the young liked him, and he became a worldwide superstar. He literally did. He was very, very famous. Yep. But on the 13th of May, 1991, there were gunshots out in St. Peter's Square, and three bullets basically went slammed into his body, and he was critically wounded. So this is the assassination that happened on that day. But he didn't die. And so what the theory goes is, was this a lone gunman? Right?
Yeah.
Or was it a sophisticated KGB plot to kill John Paul because he was seen as a threat to the Soviet Union and communism? So John Paul was very critical, I would say, of communism. He really was. He was fighting against it. So that's where the idea of, did the KGB kill him, basically. Right? Mm. So John Paul, as I said, he was very charismatic, and he wanted to be seen as one of the people. He didn't want to be seen as this godlike figure, would I say.
Yeah.
Right? He wanted to be beloved, and he was beloved, basically. So this was a shock. People were deeply shocked by this assassination, basically. People were crying, yada, yada, yada. Right? So the person who was arrested, he was a Turkish citizen called Ali Acar, right? And he was an extreme right-winged, had extreme right-winged views, right? And he was, he had killed a journalist sometime before. Like, he was kind of on the radar of being a very, I would say, bad person, right?
Bad guy.
But many, when, I guess, they began to question his motive behind his whole shooting of the Pope, why he shot the Pope.
Yeah, okay.
And the theory kind of goes is that he was a hired gunman, right?
So he's an assassin.
But if he was a hired gunman, he wasn't actually saying who paid him or who was hiring him.
But maybe he was paid to not say.
Maybe he was paid to not say. I don't know.
You have to think
What
about
do you guys
that?
Think? I'm not
I'm
sure.
I'm just saying.
Yes, but his behavior and his very statements throughout his questioning, I guess, were very contradictory. Many of them were contradictory of each other of thing. And so there wasn't a very clear, they couldn't clearly derive the conclusion of his motives or if he was a lone gunman or if he wasn't a lone gunman kind of thing. It's very up in the air kind of thing. So I guess that's where the conspiracy theories come into it kind of thing. So according to one of a person called Nigel West, he says there is evidence that the contents of Ali Adra's pockets, there was local telephone numbers. So he had a paper, had local telephone, and the three numbers were of three different Bulgarians who were in Rome, right? And these Bulgarians were like from the Bulgarian embassy and government kind of thing. But however, my question is, why would Bulgaria, firstly, it is a communist, country, or was then, in Eastern Europe, but it had no formal ties with the Vatican. So why would they be interested in killing the Pope, right?
I don't know.
So according to the theory, the Bulgarian Secret Service basically operated as a hired gunman for the KGB and on behalf of the Soviet Union.
But the guy wasn't Bulgarian, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was Turkish, right? But anyway, this is how it goes. So, basically, it's like, well, why would the Soviet Union want to kill a high-profile religious leader? And so, John Paul II, as we said, he's Polish-born, and he lived under communist regime, which basically suppressed his religion of Catholicism. And so,
true.
He became very outspoken and critical against communism and communist atheism, right?
Yeah.
So he was very against it, and he was fighting to end communism. And because during that time, communism at the end of World War II, kind of like, well, there's the Soviet Union, and they were in Berlin, and was it Berlin? I can't remember where it was. They were a ruling power, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he was very critical and fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it goes is, like, because of this, John II had to be neutralized, he had to be neutralized, and this plan to neutralize him emerged, basically. And so, yeah, the idea of, was Ali Adja the lone gunman, or was he a fallout guy for a desperate KGB to kill John Paul, because John Paul would have brought down communism for the Soviet Union and the KGB, basically, right? But there's a professor, his name is John Pollard, does not think so. He does not think that he was a fallout guy for the KGB, because he says there's not really evidence in the last, like, since that time, since World War II ended, there hasn't been any evidence from the Vatican City or, I guess, the Soviet Union, I guess, that there was this KGB plot kind of thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, I don't know what you think, or what you guys out there think. Do you think that it was a KGB plot, or do you think it was a lone gunman? I'm not really sure. I'm very, like, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's very muddled up, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, so the Soviet Union, though, did collapse, and its states did collapse in 1989. So the communism, the communist regime was collapsed.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Right.
So I don't know what
there's
you think
not enough
about that.
Evidence to, like...
Yeah, to conclusively be like,
oh,
which
this
ones.
Person did yeah.
All right, so the third conspiracy theory surrounded the Vatican is to do with Robert Calvi and the Vatican Bank. Right.
There's a Vatican Bank?
There's a Vatican Bank.
I don't know anything about the Vatican, as you can see.
So the Vatican Bank, while it was trying to help thousands from communism, like saving them from communism, it is believed that they were also engaged in what was like murder and conspiracy and corruption and all this kind of stuff.
That makes such a good horror movie.
Maybe.
Don't you think? call it Murder at the Vatican. That's probably a movie.
It probably is.
It's not an original idea, but anyway.
So Robert Calvi, he was one of Italy's top bankers, and it is claimed that he was involved in money laundering of mafia money at the Vatican Bank and kind of thing. So he was involved. So mafia would kind of slip money into the Vatican Bank and it would be cleansed, and he would help with that.
Cleansed?
Like cleansed of being mafia money, if that makes sense. So
I'm imagining washing this money or something. That doesn't make any sense. Okay,
It kind of the idea is he was because he was so involved in this process at the Vatican Bank and all this kind of stuff. Well, he was killed because he knew too much, and I'll explain why. We'll go on and explain why. So Robert Calvi, he was nicknamed God's banker because he banked at the Vatican Bank, or a bank that was backed by the Vatican City, would I say. The Vatican, right. The Vatican backed this bank. And so he was but he was actually, as I said, he was found dead. And he was found dead in London in 1982, hanging from Blackfriars Bridge in London. So Blackfriars is a bridge in London, and he was found there. And at first it actually seemed a logical conclusion that he committed suicide, right? And that it was a suicide. And so, but not everyone agreed. And they didn't think his death was an accident. So they thought someone in the Vatican and the mafia
kind of killed him. Even if that happened, you can't even stop them. They're just so powerful. Don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Isn't that scary?
And the reason for this, because Calvi had been directly associated or close involvement with an Archbishop Paul McCannis, and Paul McCannis was a Vatican member, shall I say, and he was the head of the Vatican's own bank.
Right.
And it also is claimed that he himself had strong ties with mafia and stuff like that kind of thing.
Because aren't the mafia Italian?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure there's other mafias, but anyway.
So the Vatican Bank, it does not act like any other bank. It kind of, hides mafia money and cleanses it. And so it actually can't be touched or reached by the Italian government or any other government, like the FBI or anything. You can't touch it. The Vatican Bank is don't touch it.
Yeah.
Right? But this Archbishop, McCannis, had no actual experience with running a bank, right? He was not an experience. He was a member of the Vatican.
Why was he in charge of the bank then?
Because
Pope
John Paul II really liked this Archbishop. And so he was head of the Vatican.
That's so silly. Just because you like someone doesn't mean you put them in charge of a bank.
I know. But so then many believe that's why Robert Calvi comes into the theory, because basically the Archbishop needed help from the banker, Calvi, who was a very...
He was a banker, right? Yeah, yeah.
And so Calvi's dealings helped transform basically the Vatican into a financial powerhouse, is what it goes.
All right.
But then... the Bank of Italy got wind of Calvi's illegal dealings and money transfers, right? And so in 1981, Calvi was given a suspended gold sentence of 4 years and fined 14 pounds or euros, million euros, right, for illegally exporting money from Italy, basically.
So he was put in jail for 4 years.
Yeah, so he was going to go to jail, basically, and stuff like that. But he wouldn't take sole responsibility. And the reason they think this is because he wrote to the Pope saying that the church was going to suffer the greatest damage. So basically it was seen as a threat, right? Mm. So it's seen as a threat, basically.
Okay.
But days before he was supposed to be going to prison, he actually fled to London. So he fled Italy to London.
So he escaped going to prison to go to London.
Yeah, so he escaped to London. This kind of sort of sealed his fate, and some people say, right?
Yeah.
And because he knew too much and he was so involved with, I guess, the Vatican Bank and the mafia was mundering and this illegal stuff, he needed to be silenced. He knew too much, and so he needed to be silenced, according to
knew too much about the mafia money stuff?
Yeah, he knew too much about the dealings and stuff like that, and so it's like, bye-bye. Otherwise, because he was going to spill it, so it's sort of just threatened, so he needed to be silenced because of this. And so he was silenced, and he was found at Blackfriars Bridge in London. Because of his death, the biggest financial benefactor of his death was said to be the Archbishop Marcinus. So that archbishop he had dealings with and the Vatican Bank. So the Vatican apparently had the most, basically benefited because this money disappeared and this all this disappeared and everything remained normal. So nothing was leaked and stuff like that. They benefited. At first, I did say that his death was actually by the City of London Police was a suicide.
It was called a suicide.
Yeah, it was a suicide.
Yeah.
But then, actually, in 2003, they reopened the case and said it was a murder inquiry. So it's still an ongoing murder inquiry, and they haven't had anyone convicted or anything kind of thing. So there's nothing there. But it is an ongoing murder inquiry because there's just so much evidence that it was not a suicide, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
He was kind of found going with two Italian people on a boat at the midnight. And so there's just
that's sketchy.
Yeah. So
very sketchy.
He was found, and also this place, Blackfriars Bridge, is a very public place, and so it's kind of is it a message kind of thing? And
it could be a message, actually. You know? So don't mess with us.
So it's they believe it's a murder, and there was foul play involved in this. So so that's an ongoing murder. So I don't know what you guys think. Was the mafia and the Vatican involved in Calvi's murder and death?
I think so.
Who knows? So the fourth and final conspiracy theory that is related to the Vatican is the mysterious death of Pope John Paul I. So not John Pope II. I mean, not John Paul II, John Paul I. Okay?
Okay.
And so many believe if the Vatican could kill a Catholic banker like Calvi, they are very capable of murdering a pope. Okay? So that's the idea.
Isn't the Pope in charge of the Vatican?
Yes, but you'll understand why they think, oh, he was dead, right?
Okay.
So in 1978, Pope John Paul I was elected, and he was actually nicknamed the Smiling Pope.
That's
so very smiling. He was very, and he was unlike his predecessor, who had very strong conservative views, I guess. His predecessor was very opposed to the idea of birth control, and they were very traditionalists and all this kind of stuff. But John Paul I's views was viewed very different to, I guess, the Vatican's traditions.
Yeah,
particularly
okay.
when it came to, I guess, birth control. This is like, because there was overpopulation, like our world is growing and people, yeah. there's like so many yeah. more people now, even just today. And so I guess it's becoming an issue of this idea of overpopulation. Right. And yeah. where do you feed and all this, all the issues related to overpopulation. Right. Yeah. And so I guess he saw this issue and he was starting to have conversations about, well, I guess using birth control to help, I guess, millions from suffering and have, I guess, having children and then having those children suffer because of hunger or starvation
yeah,
or whatever.
There's not enough food or something.
Yeah. So kind of using
yeah.
birth control as,
a way to help, the world.
Help the world kind of thing.
Yes.
But then I guess because of this, it kind of, people saw it as kind of going maybe against what their doctrine was going and
yeah.
saying and their conservative views and this whole idea of like birth control and God and you can't have that kind of thing. And so he kind of made many enemies, right? And before we could actually make any changes and stuff and put this into force or anything,
yeah.
30 days into his new role, he was actually found dead, right?
Mm. Oh, my word.
And it's
okay.
officially, yeah, and it's officially said that it was a heart attack, right?
Mm.
So it's officially said it was a heart attack. But many believe that it was he was basically murdered by the priests and the Vatican City, and that the Vatican City basically got away with murder, right? So they got
Whoa.
Away with murder.
All right,
okay?
then.
So one thing we have to understand is that the Vatican, as I said, they are a sovereign state and they are a city-state within Rome. And so it actually, it doesn't have police and it follows its own law. It doesn't follow any other law. It doesn't follow the Italian law. It rules themselves, basically. So they don't have this, so if they don't have a police force and,
yeah.
and no outside can
yeah.
come in, so actually the Italian police force have to be invited in.
They've been
right.
invited.
They have to be invited in.
Whoa!
Right.
All right.
So
then.
That's how much. That's I guess that's how much power the Vatican City have, and so this is where the idea of, well, the Vatican City is the easiest place to commit murder because of this own
yeah.
rule, because they rule themselves basically. And
I get
right,
that though;
right,
it
right?
makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is very like, oh yes, like hey, look, guys,
yeah.
they've got some shady stuff.
Yeah,
right. And generally, with this kind of death of John Paul I, there would be an autopsy under Italian law. Because they rule themselves, there was actually no autopsy done on John Paul I.
No,
right?
that's really sketchy.
No autopsy. And so people believed, because of this, there was foul play because they didn't want to have an autopsy as well.
That's
and
sketchy.
Also, secondly, they started actually contradicting themselves again and again and again.
Yeah.
And this was like shown in, well, first they would report that he was found sitting up pleasantly, smiling in bed, reading a book called The Lamentation of Christ. But it turns out there was actually no evidence that he was reading this book. That's the first thing.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I know.
okay.
But then also the Vatican claimed that he was actually found by his private secretary, right? But
he
it
has
actually
a private secretary?
Yeah, he has a private secretary.
I mean, it doesn't really yeah. surprise me.
But he was actually found, he wasn't found by his private secretary, he was found by a nun. So people then also was like, oh my goodness, like, they're contradicting themselves.
Yeah.
This could be foul play. And so they actually, through their dealings or what led after to his death, led to this idea of conspiracies forming kind of thing. So we will actually never know what truly happened with his death. Was it natural? Was it not? I don't know what you guys think. I don't know what I think.
I don't
like,
know.
It could just die of natural and it's just a coincidence that it happened then or whatever, 30 days. Who knows? Right?
Yeah, I don't
so
know.
So what are your last thoughts about this whole thing of the Vatican?
Very confusing, but
city,
also...
These conspiracy theories.
It's confusing, but also, like, scary because I feel like they're just so powerful that you just
yeah.
can't do anything about it.
Yes, yes. They
yeah.
are very powerful. Thing and like not have and the idea that they can rule themselves and no one can
yeah.
come in and stuff like that, that's like crazy
yeah.
right? So I don't know what you guys think. Let us know what you guys think, maybe hopefully what do you think of these conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff. So here at Unearthed we have uncovered conspiracy theories surrounding I guess the Vatican City, which
yeah
has been really cool to like dive into and stuff.
Mm.
So please like,
subscribe,
download,
and tell all your friends.
This has been On Earth with Asia and Nicole. See you next time.
Enjoying the Active FM show? Well, then catch us on Instagram at ActiveFM777, Twitter and Gab at ActiveFM, Facebook at ActiveFM/777, as well as YouTube at ActiveFM and our website at www.activefm.co.za. Don't stop, don't hesitate. Find, follow and enjoy us on all our different platforms. You don't want to miss out.